We get the program underway this afternoon by welcoming into the program our friend Pete Abraham from the Boston Globe. Hello there, Pete.
Rich, I'm clearly not fast enough to be a leadoff hitter, but thanks for having me on.
Oh, I don't know about that. You know, it's all about, you know, it's the on-base percentage, but also baseball's changed. You can take it deep starting out the game on the first pitch.
There you go. All right, thanks.
Before we talk about the Red Sox and what's ahead for them, I wanted to ask about the wonderful photos that you shared earlier on social media without those pesky fans in the way. You were able to get some really interesting pictures of Fenway.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was a weird season for us because we were basically locked into the fifth level of Fenway Park. We couldn't go anywhere else. They didn't want us walking around or anything like that. So we could really kind of go to the press box or the areas next to the press box and walk down to the left field line. That was about as far as it went. So I took a few photos just from a vantage point I hadn't really spent a whole lot of time at Fenway. And, put them on my Facebook page today. So just a little something fun.
One more reason to follow Pete if you're not already on Facebook. They're terrific. So who's the next manager?
You know, I would like to think it would be Alex Cora, but I don't know. It seems like, you know, Chaim Bloom, it put some distance between the idea of bringing Alex Cora back, and the Red Sox haven't said that it won't happen, but then again, they haven't seemed enthusiastic about the idea that it will. And I thought it was interesting that the only other team that's looking for a manager right now are the Tigers. And their GM, Al Avila, said, yes, we absolutely will consider Alex Cora. So the fact that they have said that and the Red Sox haven't, suggests to me it might be somebody else.
Who took a step forward this season and put themselves perhaps in better position for next year?
Boy, that's probably a pretty short list, given everything that happened with them. I would say, you know, Bobby Dalbec really impressed. He looks like somebody who could be part of the mix going forward, you know, a guy with power, a pretty good fielder, certainly somebody you look at and say, okay, here's a guy that you feel like, he might not be, an all-star kind of player, but he can certainly be a helpful sort of player. And then I think there are a few guys, pitching-wise, who you maybe weren't expecting a whole lot out of, who you saw something with. Tanner Houck was a guy who was fading a little bit as a prospect, I think, until this year, and then, you know, pitched terrifically in three starts and look like somebody at the very least you want to give a chance to going into next season. And then there were a few other guys. I thought Martin Perez was somebody they had almost, you know, negligible aspirations for, I think, in terms of the fan base. Nobody really thought too much of this guy, and he gave him a pretty competitive start every time he went out there. And then certainly Alex Verdugo, who I thought was in the impossible position of trying to replace Mookie Betts and played very well. And he's certainly never going to be as good as Mookie. But I thought the Red Sox, if they felt like they had to trade Betts, and there were certainly only a few teams that could take on Betts, I thought they did pretty well getting a player like Verdugo back for him. And if the prospects that they also received turn out well, the Red Sox, I don't know if anybody's ever going to be happy about that trade, but they'll at least have gotten some good value back.
Pete, what happened to J.D. Martinez this season? He's always been about as consistent as they come and just never seemed to get it going this year.
Yeah, I think a few things. They put a lot of different protocols in place for the players. It, literally, in terms of when they could arrive at the park, they couldn't arrive too early. The things that they could do at the park, how many people that they could be around, and obviously not intentionally, but almost everything they put in was something that disrupted JD's routine. And when you look at JD's career, he got released by the Astros and completely changed the way he hits. He did everything differently. He really became an adherent of pregame preparation and looking at video and looking at the analytics and spending countless hours studying the opposing pitcher. And that made him a hugely successful player, made him a World Series champion, got him a big contract. And now this year, all of those things were difficult to do. And it really threw him off. I think other guys figured out a way to adapt quickly, but he never did. And then meanwhile, the season's going downhill. It's obvious they're not going to be contenders. And I think all of that kind of rolled into one and led to a terrible season for him. I thought he was pretty accountable about it. He didn't hide from it. He talked about how bad he played and what he needs to do to get back to it. But the thing I think you can look at if you're a Red Sox fan is this is a guy who has known hard times and come back from them. So he's proven that he can take a bad season and turn it around very quickly. So you have to hope that he'll go into the winter and be able to do that again.
A couple other guys who took a step back this year, Michael Chavis, and then obviously added to it with injury, but Andrew Benintendi with an absolute nightmare of a season.
Yeah, the whole Benintendi thing was very strange because he was playing very poorly, and then he got injured on a freak play. He was turning second base, tried to go back to second, stepped awkwardly and fell down, and managed to hurt a muscle in his rib cage, which that's an injury that almost always takes a long time to come back from. And then after a while, you know, every day we would ask, like, how's Benintendi doing? How's Benintendi doing? And we didn't get too much in the way of response. And the next thing you know, they're shutting him down for the season. So this is a guy a couple of years ago, when he went, you know, the year they won the championship, you thought, well, this is, you know, big things are ahead for him. And he's got a chance to be a, you know, an all-star player maybe, and certainly a cornerstone guy for the Red Sox. And now you're left wondering, you know, kind of what his future is and where he might fit in.
We're talking with Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe here on Downtown. We know probably 4/5 of the rotation for next year. Erod, is he set to begin off-season activities and cleared to go?
No, not yet. All he's been cleared for at this point is walking and kind of starting up a physical program, an exercise program. And the COVID really hit him hard. And he tested positive. When he returned to the Red Sox, he threw a couple times in the bullpen. It was very tired. They found out that he had inflammation around his heart, which is something that some people contract when they have COVID. And they shut him down immediately and monitored him. And it took a long time before they cleared him just to do the simplest things. So he's going to have a very gradual build-up to getting back on the mound. And their hope is he'll be ready to pitch by spring training. But the other part of this is he didn't throw any pitches really competitively this season. So you don't know how that's going to affect him going into next year, which is the case for a lot of pitchers. And it's probably unreasonable to think he could go from nothing and then build up to being, you know, here's a guy who's going to start 33 games and give you 170 innings. You're probably going to have you know, probably lesser expectations for that. So even though you might know what 4/5 of the rotation are, yeah, I would say at least two of those guys, you really don't know what they can give you. So the Red Sox, one way or another, are going to need to stockpile some starters because there's a lot of question marks.
Did Matt Barnes win the closer's job, at least for now?
Well, I mean, I guess he has because there's nobody else who really looks like a closer. But he also struggled at times in his command. I thought there were too many walks for a guy who pitches late in games. He got too reliant on his curveball at times. He would throw that pitch time after time. And his fastball is a good fastball, and it was, I thought, unusual that he didn't want to challenge hitters sometimes with it. I think he wants to be the closer. He would relish the opportunity. I thought he did pretty well for the most part, but there are some things that, you know, you feel insecure about him getting into tight spots, and I think sometimes he walks hitters feeling like, well, I'll just get the next guy, which is fine sometimes if you're a starter, but that's a difficult thing to do late in games when you're trying to protect a one-run lead, because one mistake and then, you know, the game's over with.
Is there anything out there, likely to be out there on the free agent market that the Red Sox would be interested in and willing to spend the money on?
Well, I think this is going to be a free agent market unlike anything we've ever seen, because every team in the game has lost money without having fans in the stands. Some teams are in pretty precarious financial positions. You're going to see a lot of players who are arbitration eligible essentially be released by their teams, not offered arbitration. They'll go into the free agent market along with the guys who would have otherwise been free agents. And I think that there's going to be a lot of players who are available that a team, if they were, you know, you could pick your spots a little bit, I think, and get some moderately priced players who could be good major leaguers, similar to what the Red Sox did in 2013, where they signed a flurry of guys for modest contracts who ended up being good players. So I think an opportunistic team is going to be able to take advantage of this market. But at the same time, the Red Sox are in the same position as other teams. They lost a lot of money. They didn't have fans. Their television ratings were way down. So they're not rolling in cash either in terms of what they would normally have. So it's going to be interesting to see, just from an industry-wide perspective, how many teams feel like, you know, they need to dial it back and be cautious for a couple of years, and how many teams decide, well, this might be a good time to strike, and we'll make up the money down the road. So I don't know which teams are going to do that, but there are going to be teams when, you know, 2 years from now, you're going to look back and say, well, that's a team that took advantage of the situation after the pandemic.
there have not been a lot of bright spots in 2020, as we know, but in a couple of weeks, brand new album from Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. What do you think of the songs that we've been able to hear so far?
Oh, I thought, yeah, they're pretty good. And what's interesting about it from the perspective of a Springsteen fan is they did it really quickly. Reading about the record, they put it together in a week. And in the past, that would be, you know, a quarter of one song on a record. You know, they're famous for spending months and months at a time in the recording studio and recording 20 songs to pick 10 and all of this other stuff. They put that record out very quickly. You had the whole band together in New Jersey. So it'll be interesting to see what that sounds like. And there's going to be a video with it that shows the process. And I'm interested in seeing that. Just, it's interesting to me to see, you know, how they do what they do. So there's a lot of, I'm not surprised because I figured one way or another, Bruce would want to have something to say before the election. So, you know, later on this month, we'll find out what that is.
Can't wait for it. Indeed. Pete, always good to talk with you. Thanks so much for making some time for us this afternoon. And we'll catch up with you again very soon.
You bet. Anytime, Rich. Thank you.
Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe on Downtown.